You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
And your girl and save her. Let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her. Then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. You're as welcome as you can be. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I welcome you to our conversation today. And we have a very warm welcome of honor and respect for today's guest. Will you please introduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Hi, I'm Claire Jones. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I am so thankful for the work that you are doing in the artist community and the still COVID community.
Thank you.
How wonderful. And so I hope someone has said thank you to you, but just in case they haven't, thank you very much.
Thank you for you, too, and you're welcome.
I would love it if you would share with us your organization, your project, and exactly what it is you are doing.
We are Sister Creatives Rising. And I am the co-founder, and along with my daughter, Amaranthia Giddings-Jones. And our mission is to help creative marginalized women and marginalized genders gain accessibility and visibility in the arts to facilitate personal healing. Sister Creatives Rising is a project. It's not a nonprofit. Mm. And our concept, the concept was founded by my daughter and I, as I said before, and our mission, as I said, is to help marginalized genders gain accessibility and visibility in the arts to facilitate personal healing. I wanted to repeat that. And SCR, we seek to strengthen our community by increasing the visibility of these artists that we showcase and we promote with our disability accessible virtual film event called Art and Mind. We also compensate artists. We raise funds to create grants via our Sister Uprising Fund. And as a grassroots project founded by two disabled and immunocompromised mother and daughter team, we ensure that our work incorporates disability justice principles and accessibility tools. Via SCR, seek to strengthen our community by increasing the visibility of these artists and providing them with affordable and accessible resources. And that's it in a nutshell. You can see all of this on our website, thecreativerising.com.
Beautiful, beyond beautiful. I am so grateful and so honored to be one of your microgrant recipients, and I'm thanking you for that. What a wonderful help. How did you to do this great work?
Oh, well, it goes from, well, I am from Barbados. I'm 61 years old. And Barbados is in the Caribbean, a small Caribbean island. Mm-hmm. And it was, I guess I would say from when I was very young, I grew up in under childhood domestic violence. And I saw my mom and go through so much, she was in so much suffering, and our family went through so much suffering because of this violence that my father perpetuated upon the entire family. And from a very young child, I remember seeing her in pain so much. And as I grew up and I got into my teens and stuff, I promised myself that I would one day help my mom. Uh-huh. And I started to write stories, creative writing. I realized that I loved writing a lot. And I said, one day I'm going to become a well-known writer and and share my story and talk about these issues and help my mom, come back and help my mom and stuff. And so as time went on and I went through life, I had this at the back of my mind, and eventually I got into college at Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts, and it was there that I began to develop my idea, and it came in the form of a play, which I wrote as my final project called Shadows of Voodoo. And in that play, it basically gave an idea of our, told our story. And in doing that play, I had to do a lot of research. And this research took me through a grant to Senegal, West Africa, where I went to visit the slave houses off the coast of Senegal. There's a Gorée Island, one of the slave houses is there. It's a slave museum. And it was there that I realized I was standing at the door with no return, and it was there where the slaves were, the slaves that were in prison there were sent off to the Caribbean and the Americas through this door, and they went, they entered the ships through that door, and it was there that they left the Africa, and they never saw they never saw the homeland again, and so I was able to stand in that door, and I like to say that I stood in that wound, because to me, that was a wound, right? It was the opening, the aperture for where these, where my ancestors, some of them entered into this life that they never knew what was going to happen to them. And I stood at that door, compliments of that grant, and I did a lot of self-assessment and self-reflection, and I realized the importance of understanding the damages that in intergenerational, the legacy of intergenerational abuse had wrought on me and my family, and why my father was the way he was, why he could be such a violent person. And I realized at that moment, I realized that it was because he had within him that seed of violence that was passed on through colonialism, and he just felt that he didn't have any control over his life, and the family was where he acted out. And so I understood all these things, and I decided that from that moment, standing at that door, that I was going to make a difference by trying to break through this legacy that was such a part of my life. And so I went back and I did the play, and I graduated and everything. And then I had my daughter and everything. And I raised her with this kind of belief, the importance of the arts. And at the back of my mind, still have this vision of helping my mom. And the, as Amarantia grew and stuff, and I saw that the work that she was doing was very similar to what I was doing, she started developing her art portfolio. And as time went on, we kind of pulled our ideas together, and then in 2021, we had our first show in Under Art and Mind, and it started to come together then. And so I finally, this year, when we did the Sister Fund, this was our second show, in 2023, we did our last show, and we decided that this was the moment to put this fund into action. One of our sponsors told us, look, you know, this is the time to do it. So we did it then. And that's when we put out the call. And so my mother's transitioned. She hasn't gotten to see what I've done. But now I can, I'm breaking through this this legacy, this curse. I'm breaking through it with my daughter by my side and doing this work. And it's very important work for me to help marginalize women and marginalized genders to art. So that's pretty much that's it.
Thank you so much for sharing such a powerful story and such an amazing legacy with us. What a wonderful way to honor such a courageous mother and shine your light into so many other lives. That's beautiful. That's really wonderful.
Thank you so much.
It's almost a kind of alchemy, isn't it? Like to take pain and transform it into something powerful and useful and good. And you're doing that. That is marvelous. Absolutely marvelous.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, and that's how I view it. And I had cancer, was diagnosed with lymphoma in 2022, March of 2022.
Oh my goodness.
It was just very sudden. Yeah, and I would say up to that point, I had been self-sabotaging for so long because I had so many demons within me. You know, coming from this background of trauma, this background of this violence, I didn't really believe in myself, even though that I was doing stuff. I think I was doing worthy stuff in my life, but I always felt that there was something missing. And I feel like when cancer happened, I like to say, and it's very difficult because some people would say this is a radical way of thinking or a radical of speaking about cancer, but I saw it as a gift at that moment because it really made me look at my life because I almost lost my ability to walk.
And so
I was in the hospital for like a rehab in hospital, couldn't walk because the cancer was wrapped around my spine like a donut. And I remembered at that time that this was not something that was going to take me out. I have to get back to work with my daughter because this work we had just started in 2021. We were about to launch Sisters and then this cancer happened. I was like, no, this is not going to take me out. And so I spent a lot of time reflecting during cancer and realizing eventually that this is a gift for me to change my life, to take a new look at this life that was broken for so long. And it doesn't mean that it's because of the trauma that is very, you know, buried in my psyche. That's not going to go away. But cancer made me realize that I could keep on fighting. And so in 7 months, I learned to walk again. And then I learned I was in a 1% chance to walk again because of this, where it was located, and I learned to walk again, and I came into remission in October of 2022, and it was then that we said, I'm going to launch this because I cannot self-sabotage anymore, and I don't know where it's going to take me. I'm still recovering in so many ways. The cancer caused us to have a lot of financial problems. I almost lost our home. We were still recovering from the 2008 financial crisis. Then the pandemic hit. All these things happened. Then cancer hit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still going through a lot of problems. But I said, I don't have any choice. I know that I might not be able to do everything I want, but I'm going to start. So we launched Sister Creative Rising, and by the October 2023, we had sponsors, we got grants, and now we are able to launch our fund, and we're still having issues. But the whole point of it is that gift, remembering that how cancer gave me this gift of myself, of believing in myself, of love, recognizing that I am worthy, that I have value. Those were the gifts that it gave to me. And so I just put one foot in front of the other every day, you know, because it's like we have on our website, bridging gaps to the past, from the present to the future. And that's our slogan. And that's basically what I'm doing with reflecting, grounding myself in the present and working towards the future.
Oh my, that is so inspirational. Thank you for sharing such an inspiring personal story with us. This is very encouraging.
Sure.
And I think about all of the wonderful ways in which your perspective has helped you to go through all these challenges and come out on the other side. Help us with that. How does your perspective, your way of seeing the world, help you through challenges?
Well, I would say because I am a practicing Buddhist of over 30 years, so I look through my lens of looking at the world is through cause and effect, which is very central. It's at the crux of everything that I do. So basically, over these 30 years of practicing this Buddhism, I have come to understand that how I present myself in the world is because of the causes that I've created. Every cause that I've created have brought me to where I am in my life. So when things like cancer, when chaos happens, when negative happens, I look at myself and I say, I look at it, of course I'm human and I get upset, I get angry, I have anxiety and stuff. But looking at it through this Buddhist lens, I'm able to come to a place of inner peace and ground myself and center myself and say, okay, I don't know what cause I created to bring me to this particular moment, this particular chaotic moment, but I know it's something that I did, whether it's in this life or from previous lives, because we believe in that. And so I know that I am here, I'm present, I have gotten to this point, I can get through it. So I always put my practice first, and I basically chant my whole existence is like, I pretty much do chanting all the time, and I go through my Buddhist philosophy for everything that I approach. And one of the things I do is I listen to Louise Hay a lot. She was the thought leader and founder of Hay House Publishing. And she has a lot of readings and audios that really are motivational and help you a lot. And so I used her a lot. I listened to Eckhart Tolle a lot. And I also have this personal system that I developed called Clarity, Awareness, Presence, Acceptance, and Gratitude. Mm-hmm. And it's this five-step system that whenever something happens in my life that is chaotic, it helps me to ground me. And I use it like a wash, rinse, repeat cycle to get me through whatever crisis I'm in. So I first become clear about whatever is happening to me. I become aware of why it's happening to me. I become present in it so that I can say, okay, you know, ground myself and say, okay, like, okay, this is what it is. It is what it is. I accept, right, that this is something that I cannot change at this moment, but if I can work towards it, and I, you know, I use a serenity prayer in that moment, and then I am grateful. I live in constant gratitude, knowing that, you know, my life is, as I say, worthy, and I am here. I'm meant for a purpose, and so I'm here for a purpose, and so my mission, my personal mission, through all that, is to help marginalized women activate their light in the middle of chaos by recognizing the causes and effects of intergenerational trauma. And that's what I do with my life, and that's what I'm hoping to do with this work.
Oh, wow. Magnificent. Absolutely. Thank Absolutely you. Marvelous. This is wonderful. I want to talk about artists in this season, right? Pandemics and plagues and politics and wow. I mean, when you start talking about chaos and trauma and all of those things, wow.
Yeah,
what
right?
is the role of artists, do you think, in such times as these?
Wow. I mean, everywhere, whether we acknowledge it or not, everywhere you look is art.
Right.
You know? Everything that the packaging that you get your food in, the house that you live in, the clothes that you wear, you know, the everything is art. It's right there. It's, you know, it's not. So artists have a role to play in every aspect of our life. You know, because they're like the. They can communicate very clearly to people. They can uplift, and they can bring us through all these crises and stuff. It's given a chance, you know, by the work that they do through whether it's visuals, whether it's digital, whether it's plays, whether it's, you know, writing, whatever. I feel that if we can just the abilities of different artists at this time that we can get to a better place. And but the thing is, the first thing you have to want to live in reality and in truth. And I find that a lot of, in this moment in time, hopefully I do see that there is an awakening that is beginning to happen. But I feel that right now at this time, with this awakening that happened, artists can be the driving force of this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to bring us into the future, I think that it's very, they play an essential role in our society.
Mm, absolutely. As an Indigenous lady, I'm thinking about the fact that a lot of our tribes have no separate or distinct word for art.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is everything, just like nature. We don't say, oh,
yes, it's everything.
A nature walk. No, we are nature. It's all nature. Go outside. It's all nature. And so
yes.
I love your expansive definition, your inclusive definition of art. I think the way that you welcome everything into the definition
yeah.
of art and artists is amazing.
Oh, appreciate that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I wonder, well, I just think about all the times people reach for things that are art, right? When they
mm-hmm.
need comfort, when they want to celebrate, when they want to remember or honor an occasion. I mean, so many places in our lives, art and artists are just the defining part of it, and it's beautiful that
mm-hmm.
way. Why do you feel that so much art has been exclusive? Like, you're welcoming folks from marginalized communities and people who
mm-hmm.
have different kinds of identification. But classical art had so many gatekeepers, you know, and didn't necessarily recognize all these prolific voices. So why do you think it's time to include so many different and diverse artists in the definition of art?
Because I think that's where the rawness and where the intensity and where the authenticity lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can capture that, because there are a lot of stories out there by artists from all walks of life doing amazing art to uplift, to inspire, to, you know, to even sometimes provoke, you know, to invoke. Right? And but the whole thing is that it goes back to this whole colonialistic view of things, patriarchal view of things, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, I find that they want to keep to sanitize things, to make things look like, oh, it's so perfect all the time, you know, and that's
uh-huh.
not how life really is, you know. It's like how you have the models and stuff on television or that you might see. They want to only have one type of body, or you know. When I was growing up, you couldn't see your likeness.
Uh-huh.
You know, and these things have been imprinted in our mind of how things should be, because there's a certain group of people that want it that way. You know what I'm saying? And so,
uh-huh.
so you either push against that and you express yourself through your lived experience, the way how you see life. Or you fall into that and you end up like selling your soul or giving your truth away because for money or for whatever, you know. And sometimes people think they have to do that. And the harder way is to create art, this authentic, this rawness, this boldness,
mm-hmm.
this daringness. That we try to showcase that Sister Creative's
uh-huh.
Rising,
uh-huh.
it's to keep doing it the way do you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it doesn't, mm-hmm. you don't get paid for it. You don't, that's why we say we compensate our artists, because mm-hmm. we know, my daughter and I know how long we've been trying to do this work and nobody wants to show, would want to share our work. I would try to get my daughter's work in galleries and stuff, or, and no one would want to share her work, or, you know, for years I've wanted to publish my writings and I could never really get any a footing. And so at some point you have to decide you're going to do it yourself and be
yeah.
a pioneer
uh-huh.
and carve out that space. And carving out that space and being the pioneer means that you might not get, you people like us, we don't get the grants. We You
right.
know how many grants we apply for and we hear no, 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 no,
right.
no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. but we do have some grants. We had one or two that came and said, yeah, we can see your value. And so we started to build. So it's like you just have to persevere and know that what you believe in is worthy of sharing. And if it makes it to the top, fine. If it doesn't, it's fine. As long as I'm doing me and what makes me happy, because the whole thing for me is to be happy, and I'm not because at this age I'm 61 years old, and I'm like looking back, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going into my twilight years. I want to do something that makes me feel alive when I wake up. That I want to feel joy when I go to do whatever I do in life. I want to feel joy. But that uh-huh. means going after this, hunting this joy, doesn't always mean that I'm going to make money. And that's the struggle,
uh-huh.
you know, because you
yes.
still have to live, right? You still have to pay insurance.
Right.
And you find a lot of times that you just have to be struggling all the time because you are fighting for your voice, and a lot of people don't want to hear this type of marginalized voice, this story that's telling truth and saying, look, this is the really, this is the dark side of things, but through this darkness, I have risen like a phoenix. And some of those stories get through, but a lot of them don't.
Mm-hmm. I thank you for caring about and respecting the work and the personhood of artists enough to compensate artists.
Sure.
I think mm-hmm. that is, it's not just about the money, it's about the respect. It's about
yeah,
the honor.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's it. Because that's why we do it, because we go and we get, right now we're applying for grants to make sure, because our next Art of Mind will be coming up next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are applying for grants so that we will have the funds to pay the set of artists and the people that we want to, the team that we want to work with on this next Art of Mind, we
yes.
are trying to get money and raise money for those to pay them. And we might not be able to pay a lot, but the fact is that we pay something, that we are saying, you know, your art is valuable, what your work is valuable to us. And we make sure that we pay you on time. We have contracts. We say, this is what we expect, and this is what we want you to know that we're expecting from this. We're not hounding people. We trust you that when we tell you that this is what your deliverable is, that we will get that. So we are not hounding you, and we give a whole year's time for you to work to get this thing together, because we're disabled. So sometimes we have health issues, we have things
right.
going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's very important to give space, to give the flexibility so people can create, and to pay them
mm-hmm.
and to pay them on time. So
uh-huh.
when I tell you in the contract, this is, you're getting your money at this time, you will get that money. And we make sure
Absolutely.
That we pay the fees. We make sure we pay the fees. Like if we're going to pay you through PayPal and they have fees, we absorb those fees. We don't tell you we're going to pay you $200 and you get less than $200, because when it gets through PayPal, you see the fee take your money away. You will see you will get $200, because we will make sure in that grant that we get, we include the fees. So we think about all these things because it has happened to us.
Yeah.
People don't want to pay us that. So through all of that experience, we are authentic in that way in how we approach things at Art and Mind Access to Creatives, because we just want people to understand that we feel what they're feeling. We understand what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm grateful.
As artists.
I'm truly grateful. Mm-hmm. And I know many of the other artists who you help are also grateful, because there's a wonderful thing that happens when you treat people with empathy. And everything you're describing is empathy. You know,
thank you.
You don't have to worry about that. Oh, timing. You know, all of us have had somebody who didn't pay us on time, and now we've got bills and we're waiting on it. And we've done the work, right? And empathy is what I hear. Respect and honor, yes, but also empathy, legitimately caring about the people who are the artists.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so,
yes.
How can we help you do this work? You know, we reach friends in 160 countries, all 50 states, and there may be people who can donate, who can help you,
yeah, sure.
who can partner with you. How would they go about doing that?
Yeah, if you go to our website, you'll see a place where you can donate. Your donations go to helping, because right now we don't have a full-time gig. We work on gigs. Like, if somebody wants us to speak, that will be helpful. We have our sheet up there that you can see our prices. If you want us to do a workshop to talk about accessibility, you know, we can do that. We can do presentations, you know, so stuff like that. But you can also just donate, and it goes to us. It goes to a, because we are virtual. Because we are homebound. Because I'm immunocompromised because of my situation, and we are COVID conscious family. So we do everything remotely. And so if you donate, that goes towards helping us assist us to buy equipment, sometimes to buy a meal, because sometimes we are so busy, we have so much going on that we can't cook. So sometimes to buy a meal, to buy medicine, because at this time our family is in, right now we're in a crisis because my husband lost his contract job, and so he's trying to find a job, and Amarantia and I are doing gig work when we can get it through sisters. So things like that really, really would be helpful, because we want to bring you this next Art and Mind. This is going to be about COVID and climate. It's such an important Art and Mind coming up next year. And so we're looking at it, but we still are unstable in our lives because of hospital bills left over. You know, still we had to go into bankruptcy because of the hospital bills, the COVID, all these things. We're still dealing with these issues in our life. But guess what? It isn't stopping us, because we were able to still give the funds for the Sisters Uprising Fund, because when we did the Art and Mind in 2023, we got donations more than we had asked for. And we kind of put that in a fund, and so when even though we were going through crisis, we were able to still give out those funds because they were separate from everything else. That's food delivery. It was separate from our personal funds. So we put everything, our donations for sisters, in a separate thing, and so that in the middle of the crisis, we were able to still distribute those funds because we kept it separate. And so that's what we do, you know. So anything that you can do, sponsors, we're looking for sponsors for next year for our show, that we can make sure that artists are paid, that we can continue to get the equipment and stuff like this. Right now, we need a coach. That's where we do all our work from. And because of our my health issues regarding still going through balancing issues and stuff like that. I'm walking, but I have to do a cane, and I still experience some neuropathy and stuff. So we have this couch that is our main prop, and it's becoming more and more difficult to function on that couch. So we need to get a couch that we can have support for our backs when we do our presentations and stuff like that. So things like that, donations, collaborations, sponsors, we're open to it in order to do this work so that we can pay our team, pay our artists, and also continue to work remotely.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, our friends are very resourceful and generous and kind, but most of all wise. I'm always amazed at what our friends who listen know, how they're able to point us toward opportunities, and they're able to share insight. And so let's put it all together, folks. As we go to commercial, I've got to pay a few bills. Tell them exactly where they can contact you, and they can take a minute and try to help.
You can go to sistercreativesrising.com, and on there you will see our donation button, and you can also join our newsletter. Join up our newsletter to know what's happening, and pretty much that's it. And you can also go see us on Instagram at Sister Creative Rising.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And we're also on LinkedIn, Sister Creative Rising.
Wonderful. Okay, well, that's what we'll do right now, and then we'll come right back and have more of this Beyond Beautiful conversation.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio. The way it should be heard.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
We are enjoying our gracious and generous guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Hi, this is Claire Jones, co-founder of Sister Creatives Rising. Nice to be here.
It's nice to have you here, and it's especially nice to honor the work that you're doing in the world. It is so important. And there's something I see again in your work that is truly remarkable, is that you're doing it and from a place of your own personal pain sometimes. Or you're having challenges, but you're trying to help other people who have challenges. And that's an incredible way to live your life. I mean, you could say, look at all these problems I have to deal with. I have to deal with this. I have to do this. I can't help anybody else. And yet you're saying, no, we're going to be gracious and generous and generative to other people. Where does that kind of resilience come from?
Well, I feel that my mom gave, I saw it in my mom when I was growing up as a child. But I also, because of my Buddhist practice, I would say that's where it comes from. And that in our Buddhism, we say that Buddhism is expressed in daily life. It's not separate from daily life. So everything that you see, everything that you are is Buddhism. It's like, so you can, what I look at it is I look at my environment and I, which is, you know, every one of us as living beings, we have the environment that we are in, our own individual environments. And I look at my environment and I look around me and I say, so why is this stuff like this? Why is, what have I done in my life to bring me to this space? Again, the cause and effect that I talk about. And I understand in my life, because of this intergenerational legacy of abuse that I have, that has, I have inherited from my ancestors, from slavery all the way down, that the way how it has expressed itself through me as this being that I inhabit at this time is through this traumatized psyche from domestic violence, right? And so because I understand that, and through my practice of Buddhism, understanding what the understanding the significance of that, and that we express through our lives all that we are, and all that we are is not just what we see, but what we have come through from our ancestors, from the time before, from the lives that we have lived before. All that is within me at this time. So I would say that that resilience that I come from is from, as I have gotten older and over 30 years of this practice, is of understanding that deeper meaning of life. And life is not just what I see. Life is not just what I see. It's everything. It's everything, right? So in my environment, if I see, like, for example, I'll give you an example. Like, say we have our appliances in our home, and everything is breaking all the time. Everything is breaking, everything is falling apart all the time. And we saying, man, what is, sometimes it could be, the manufacturers, they after a time, they tell you a five-year warranty, and at 5 years, exactly that thing will break, right? We notice that. But there's also, what is your thought that you are sending out in your environment that is causing this chaos in actually the your living environment? So things breaking around you could be a sign of what's going on within you.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Things breaking around you is a sign of what's happening around you. The type of people that you bring into your life is a sign of what's going on within you. Okay? The job situation that you're in, like what's happening with us right now, is a sign that's what's going on within us. The causes that we have created that has brought this kind of situation. So like within the situation that I'm in right now with a job loss, I look at it and I say, okay, I know that somehow my husband, myself, we have created this cause, the cause that has brought us to this point in our life, where this situation is happening at this time. But within this moment, within this crisis, I feel buffeted and lifted up by my protectors, by my ancestors, by my teachers, by my guides, by the Buddhas. I feel protected because in this moment, I have been, since May that has happened, I've been able to still pay my mortgage. I've been able to still pay my bankruptcy moment, my bankruptcy payment. I've been still able to buy food every single week. Donations are coming in. Donations are coming in. I'm able to still buy my medicines. And without a paycheck, and suddenly my husband got a temporary job till October. And so as I chant every day, I wake up every day and I chant to show actual proof in my environment to show actual proof that I am being cared for. And I'm seeing that I'm being cared for.
Uh-huh.
But all these things that are happening around me, life is organic. You can actually see if you're really in tune, or as I say, living in clarity, awareness, presence, acceptance, and gratitude, you will see life at every moment working for you. So even in the middle of chaos, as I stand in the middle of this chaos, I can feel through my prayers that the universe, my Buddhist gods, the protectors, my ancestors, my mom is here with me. I can feel them lifting me up. So even as I go through this, and yesterday was a difficult day for me, I felt so depressed and I felt so down. But you know when that happens? I go and I feel it. I don't run away from anything. I feel everything that comes in my life and I go through it. Because the problem that I find a lot in our society is that we try to avoid things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We try to avoid it. It's not happening. Like right now, COVID is all of a sudden, you can't get any information. It's like they're wiping out this thing that happened, this massive thing that happened to worldwide population. It's being wiped off because they don't want to know, they don't want to hear about it, they don't want to talk about it. But guess what? People are dying by the thousands every week still in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am, as an immunocompromised person, I have to be resilient in the midst of this every single day.
Every
single day.
Yeah.
Every single day I have to get up and I have to say, you know what? Well, I am not in a place where I can travel like I used to, where I can go to Europe, where I can go to France for the Olympics, where I can go to Africa. I'm not in that place anymore. Where am I? I'm in a place where I have to be close to my hospital because I was diagnosed with smoldering myeloma in January, which is a marker for the rare form of blood cancer, myeloma, which is it is a very high rate in the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I have all these things, and I have to say, I look around, I see people not wearing masks, and I see them not be. So many people getting COVID here in New Hampshire. So many people have COVID right now. We look at the wastewater every day and we can see all across the country how COVID is just taking over.
Yeah.
And people are acting like it's not happening. And I'm like, why as a Buddhist life is so important? When it's gone, when you leave this body, you go into the other side. You are on the other side, and there's a whole nother thing, a whole nother conversation. But as you live, this is the moment that you can take charge of your life and do things that will be uplifting and value your life. You're not valuing your life if you're not paying attention to what's going on that's causing you to have a poor immune system, that's causing you to have all these diseases, and you don't want to believe that's all connected to this thing that happened. So my whole thing is, my resilience come in like, you know what, no matter what, I will rise above this moment through my prayers. That's how I live my life. That's it. I put my prayers and I go through everything and I go from there. I don't depend on persons. I rely on the law of cause and effect. And that's how I live my life. Because the law of cause and effect works through persons. And I will get, the law will bring me what I need. They'll bring me the persons I need to help me to get to where I need to go, because I'm chanting, because I'm praying, because I'm saying, universe, I respect you. I value you.
Mm-hmm. I'm
grateful for you.
Yes, I deeply appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think so often, especially for artists, whom day-to-day is often a survival kind of a mode, right? If you want to do art and pay your bills, that's quite a dance.
Yes.
And
yes.
Many artists are doing, you know, other jobs that they don't necessarily feel passionate about, and then trying to do art in their spare time. And, you know, then the ones who are doing art as a full-time thing then have to worry about how to fund it constantly. And I love your kindness in sharing that perspective with us, because one of the things I see in your project is it gives us time for gratitude. Gives us some time for reflection.
I'm glad that you see that. I appreciate that.
If someone pays a bill for you and you don't have to hustle about that particular bill, or they help you buy art supplies and you don't have to worry about how to hustle up some art supplies, you actually get to sit down and breathe for a minute.
Yes.
Also, you're reminded again that you are so loved. You are so loved.
Yes.
That everything has worked together for your good so that you could have this micro grant or this art in mind opportunity or whatever it is that your particular project is doing to help an artist. And I think that's so important for mental health, but also for spiritual health, right?
Yeah, exactly. And remember, I said my personal mission was to help marginalized women activate their light in the middle of chaos by recognizing the causes and effect of intergenerational trauma. I am living it. In the middle of my intergenerational trauma and the causes that I understand, in the middle of my chaos, I am activating my light through Sisters Creative Rising, through Sisters Uprising Fund. I am doing it in my own life to show you the love and care and gratitude I have for you as a creative, as a creative who has come to us to showcase your work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to feel that love,
mm-hmm.
you know, because for so long, I never felt that love. My daughter never felt that love from the community, from the artist community, you know, because when we share our stories, it's too, why is it so... why it's so intense, or people would say, why you're so intense. And a lot of times I would push down how I truly feel about something, because then I truly feel. And when I emote, I might truly emote. And people would try to make you feel, oh, you have to sanitize that, you know.
Mm.
You have to sanitize your laugh when you want to just give a laugh that comes from your toes right through the top of your head.
Yeah.
And you give that laugh. They're like, oh, but something is wrong with you. Why are you not so classy? And so for a long time, I might try not to laugh, you know?
Oh, no.
Because when I laugh, I want to laugh like that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And so, but having that cancer, that gift from cancer told me, you know what? That gives me freedom to be me and to not care what anybody thinks about who I am or my struggles or my journey. And my journey has been multifaceted. It has been painful. I've made really bad decisions. I have not always been this person that I am here today because of my trauma and the crisis that I went through in my life. I had to fight to be this person that I am here with you today.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It was all worth it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It was all worth it.
Imagine getting to the final days of your life and you haven't laughed. You haven't had joy. You haven't.
Exactly.
I can't imagine that. Why would anybody want to rob someone of that happy, warrior, joyful spirit? I just can't imagine. I mean, I decolonized myself by laughing. You know?
Yes, exactly. You know, I like to say to myself, I say, like, I'm hunting for joy.
Yes, you are.
I'm literally hunting for joy,
that's,
you know.
Right.
Because, you know, I just want to live my life. Clear means bright. And for a long time, I didn't embrace that brightness in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was so overwhelmed by the memories and the pain that I carried with me for so long. But having cancer allowed me to say, you know, I am clear, I am bright, and I'm bringing this brightness to this world. Whether the world likes it or not, I'm shining my brightness.
That's right. And the thing about that, I really believe, we set other people free. When we laugh, when we have joy, when we choose to walk in this world in a good way, you know, my granddaddy used to say, trouble will find you. You better schedule your joys.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we have to plan. We absolutely have to plan to be joyful. What are we going to celebrate? What are we going to enjoy? What are we going to be thankful and grateful for? And when we do that, it sets other people free. When you laugh, they get to laugh. When you laugh, it's okay for them to laugh. When you're thankful and grateful, it's okay for them to be thankful. They don't have to feel like just because they don't have what consumerism says they should have, they can't enjoy what they do have. You know, like I'm really excited.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, even when you're down at your lowest, as long as you have breath, you know, and I've been at places where I thought, you know, man, I'd never get back up, and I got back up, and I kept going, and I kept that resilience. Mm-hmm. That resilience is in my DNA, you know.
Yes,
it's just who I, you know, that's just who I am. And so it's like, you just have to just never give up, keep going, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are making it possible for so many creatives to keep going, to be able to do what they feel the call is in their hearts. And as we close, I want to make sure that you tell us one more time how folks can help you do that, how they can help your family in this time, how they can help you with this project, join you, partner with you. Tell us how, please.
Yes, you can go to our website, sistercreativesrising.com. You can send us a DM at Sister Creatives Rising on Instagram. You can contact us on LinkedIn, Sister Creatives Rising. All those are ways you can get us. You can also send an email through sistercreativesrising.com. You can join our newsletter on sistercreativesrising.com. You can donate when you go to the website. You can donate. If you're interested in being a collaborator or donating to our cause for our next Art and Mind, to help us pay an artist or to work with us as a sponsor, to sponsor our next event or help give us funds for that. If you're interested in donating to help our family at this time so we can get through this difficult crisis as we prepare for our next Art and Mind, you can donate as well. So there are many ways that you can help us. We're eternally grateful for anything, and know that your funds, we will tell you how we use our funds. We're transparent. We'll let you know. And if you go to Instagram right now, you'll see a pinned post that tells you about what's going on right now in our lives. And that will also lead you to a donate button. So yes, there are many ways, and we're just excited to begin preparing. We're going to start fully preparing in October for our Art and Mind, which will come out the next October 2025. And we're excited to get started, even as we go through this very, 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 very difficult and chaotic period in our lives.
Thank you so much for being so kind and supportive to artists. Thank you so much for the micro grant and for helping me in my art. And thank you for shining your light. Thank you for shining your light here with us today. I'm so glad you're here.
Appreciate that. Thank you
for joining us.
Yes, thank you so very much. And you have a great day. Thank you. Namaste.
Thank you. Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors, donors, and friends who listen to our networks and platforms. We are so grateful to all of you. Namaste. I can't wait until we are all together again. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'll see you next time for our next conversation.
got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.